All right. Well, welcome to a special, different post game. It was supposed to be live for everyone. That didn't work out, obviously. But that's okay. We're going to do a shindig anyway. And normally we do it for you guys, the members. So it'll be like a normal shindig that we do, or town hall, as we call them. So here's how it's going to work, guys. We have one slide that we're going to start with in a second. But for all of you guys, if you want to ask a question in a way that we can see you, And your beautiful face pops up on the screen, then raise hand. Use the raise hand icon. Okay. If you just want to ask a question, but not use video, there's a question icon, the question mark icon. You can use that and then write in your questions. Okay. So, and we reserve the right to not answer them. All right. So it depends, doesn't it? Right. I've never not answered one. I'm just saying, just in case. Okay, so let's start with the first slide. See what we got. Okay, what are your favorite topics to cover? Jank Anna 2020. Robert from Colorado Springs writes that Colorado Springs is very conservative, or used to be. It's changing a little bit now. Robert, thank you for hanging in there. So. If you see me doing this, it's because I'm watching the screen in the back, which has the shindig. Okay, so that's two questions. What are your favorite topics to cover? So I have two varieties, and I'm not sure it speaks well of me or what the situation with it is. I let you make your own judgments. One is progressive anger. So when media smears progressives, which is quite often. But it happened more obviously in the presidential runs, and so it has now again begun. But for a while, everybody was so Trump obsessed that they didn't have bothered, they didn't have time to bother punching us in the face. So I like counterpunching. So I do genuinely get worked up about that. It gets my dander up, if you will. And now lately, and this is the guilty confession or guilty pleasure. I like Trump stories where he outdumbs himself, like when he surprises me, even like raking the forest floor. I didn't see that one coming. Like that's a, I didn't think there was a new layer of stupid that he could manage, but there it turns out there was. It's amazing, and so those are fun, like the invisible jet, the big water, ocean water. Etc. Right, from the standpoint of water, to be fair, but I'm also amused at the rest of the media's reaction. Like, oh, like the, I don't know, maybe there's some strategy behind it. There ain't no strategy. He just doesn't know you can't rake the forest. Okay, all right. I'll pause there and get to Jank Anna 2020 in a second. But yeah.
So for me, there are a lot of different topics that I'm passionate about. So I'm passionate about education related news, criminal justice. But lately, I've taken a liking to economic news. So anything having to do with regulations, banking, deregulation, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I don't know what it is, but lately I've been way more fascinated in that type of news as opposed to everything else that everyone's hyper focused on. And the reason why I like that news right now is because it's just different from the daily nonstop Trump cycle. A lot of those stories have a lot to do with Trump as well, but you know, what's going on with the housing market? What are the banks doing right now behind our backs as we're distracted with Trump's tweets? Those are the things that have been really sparking my interest.
Okay, fine. You had a much more substantive answer. Okay, whatever. Okay.
But like at the same time, okay, you want to know something that's not of substance that I'm into right now that I haven't ever talked about publicly?
Ooh.
So
there's now we're having a shindig.
This is so ridiculous, but it is what it is. There's this guy on YouTube who's the TMZ of political punditry. And I love him and I love his show. It's Progressive Voice, and all he does is he talks about the catfighting among progressive hosts.
And, oh, really?
And not just progressive hosts. He makes fun of Dave Rubin a lot.
Oh, no.
And I just kind of love it. So that's like my guilty pleasure.
Should we get him in the network?
Sure, he's great.
Yeah. One to grow on. All right, Jank Anna 2020, not happening. Next question.
Yeah.
Look, I'm thinking about something.
Oh, come on, Cenk.
I'm thinking about something.
No, you're not.
I'm thinking
about
something.
No, you're not.
Okay.
No, you're not.
Well, let's see what happens.
This guy.
Okay. All right. We're ready for our first video question. Look at this.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey. My name's Emily. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and we're so happy to talk to you guys. This is my little activist here. He made 109 voter calls for registration. So I'm trying to train the next generation to Pennsylvania voters.
Okay. First of all, that's awesome. Second of all, what's his name and how old is he?
My name is Tristan and I'm 8, but I'm going to be 9 this week.
That's amazing. Tristan, congrats. I'm super proud of you. My son's 8 years old and now I'm going to go home and shame him that he's not making voter calls. But to be fair,
they talked to him a lot better than they talked to me. They were much nicer than when I was doing it.
And most of them hanged up.
Well, that's right? Normal. I've done voter calls too, Tristan. Don't feel bad. That's very normal. Although my son does quote Ojeda all the time now. I was playing fantasy football against a Chicago receiver last night, Anthony Miller, and he scored a touchdown. And Pro went, "Anthony Miller, how dare he?" Anyway, awesome. Emily from Portland. I know Emma when she was interviewing some Trump supporters at a Trump rally. They said they were at Portland and it was super scary what liberals had done to Portland. So are you okay?
We're okay. There's, you know, I can get to the protests just fine. We're doing good. We can walk the streets, us liberals.
Okay, great. So what's your question?
So we wanted to know, how much do you talk politics to your spouses when you go home? Because I know my spouse is sick of hearing it because it's all the time. So do you guys talk at home?
Good question. Excellent question. I don't think I've been asked that before. So not much is the answer. And look, so we got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and obviously you can relate to some degree. So. And I'm working nonstop, and my wife's a therapist, and now she's getting longer and longer hours too. She has her own private practice. So we have brief windows, right? And in those windows, we gotta be like, okay, so when's pro soccer game this weekend? Should we sign him up for soccer camp over Thanksgiving break? You know, and all this like mundane stuff. And then when we do get into like conversations about what's going on in the world, excuse me, it's about stuff that's in the news, but not deeply political. Mm-hmm. So it might be an interesting story in the news that she saw or that I did, but I wouldn't bring up a normal Trump story or definitely not a Nancy Pelosi story or anything like that. So,
The only time I bring up politics with my husband is when I'm mad at Florida. But that's pretty much it. He will ask me questions about politics here and there, but I actually go to pretty extreme lengths to avoid talking about politics. Not because we disagree politically. He's actually in some cases even more liberal or progressive than I am. He just recently got his bag stolen with his wallet, and I was really angry about it, not toward him, but toward the person who stole it. And he said something along the lines of, well, you know, maybe this guy really needed it, and there are people out there who need things more than we do.
Jesus.
And I did not think that way. But the reason why I don't like to talk about politics is because it's mentally draining to do it all day, every day, and you need a break. And I need some time between each day of the show to just kind of like recharge my battery and come back and do my thing.
Yeah, look, we take too long with each question, and so I know I gotta hurry, et cetera. But I'm just gonna add one last quick thing there. It's mainly Wendy, not me. Like with my other friends, I talk about politics all the time. And a lot of them are more Hillary Democrats. And so that gets fiery, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's me and Steve-O versus the world. So versus all the other guys, and Steve can be brutish. So then I have to be the even tempered one, if you can imagine. Okay, so awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for all you guys do. You guys have kept us sane through all of this. So thank you.
Much appreciated.
So much.
And thank you for being a member and making this possible. And I the reason I love this, other than getting the questions from you guys, which are great questions, is I like to see you guys. Now I know that you're watching in Portland, and Tristan's making calls in the background, most efficient kid in America. Okay. All right, thank
Portland
you.
Portland is watching every.
Oh, okay, sorry, we're going to Dylan Thomas. But I like the Shanda with Portland is watching.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dylan, how you doing, brother?
Hi there. I'm a TYT international viewer. I'm actually from Wales. And it's what time here now? It's just 2:15. Yes, I'm that dedicated of a viewer.
I love it. I love it, Dylan. Thank you, brother. And I can tell from the accent. Although, you know, you never run into anybody from Wales. At least we in America don't. So a lot of hype over Ireland and Scotland, but Wales gets left out.
Well, to be honest, Welsh people don't like to brag.
Yeah.
And the thing is, 19 Welshmen signed the Declaration of Independence, and a lot of people don't know that. So
see, I didn't know that. You educated me right now, Bill. Okay, go Welsh.
I think it might be more, actually. But there we go. And I think Jefferson was had Welsh heritage as well. It's just quite a bit of question regarding your side of the pond's politics regarding what's happening over here with Brexit. And the massive disaster it is. Like, you know, 2 years ago we were voting to either stay or go out, and people voted out, obviously. But now people are finding out how much of a... Can I swear?
Yeah, you can now, yeah.
Yeah, how much of a clusterfuck it is. regarding, you know, the border with Northern Ireland and Ireland and how much trouble that's going to be. But the way that things are happening is not as good as people think it is. But as I say, I'm massive fans of yours. And to be honest, it's you I watch for American news, because... And obviously, your other people like other channels as well. Right. But Anna was talking about the progressive guy. I listened to him as well.
Oh, look at that!
Oh, nice, the progressive voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Who knew? You guys are phenomenal.
I like the drums.
That's does drums. What I like about it. All right.
Likes to create a lot of drama as well. So it's
Yeah.
I didn't know this shindig was going to turn into a shindig about progressive voice. Okay. So, Dylan, did you want to ask a question about Brexit or just get our point of view on it?
Yeah, just I wanted to see what, if you follow it, because you've got a lot on your minds at the minute. So I'm just wondering. Yeah.
So, the answer is, unfortunately, not that closely, if we're keeping it real. I like your honesty better than mine. You're like, to be honest, I watch you guys for news mainly. I'm like, yes, that's the kind of honesty I like.
Same.
But look, it's very similar to the Trump phenomenon. The reason that people voted for Brexit was because they were sick of what the establishment had been telling them for the last 40, 50 years. That, you know, hey, don't worry, everybody stay calm and chive on or whatever it is, right? Stay calm and everything's going to be fine. And it's not fine. It's not fine. We're getting screwed. No. And so I saw a bumper sticker that said Meteor 2016 that was left over from the last election in America. And we got what we bargained for, right? They wanted a meteor. They got a meteor. But it turns out when the meteor lands, it's a mess. And so and Brexit is that meteor for you guys. Everybody warned that there would be terrible complexity and downsides to Brexit, but the problem is that the institutions have broken down and people don't trust them anymore. So when the media said that, they didn't believe them.
Well, there's we have our own similar Mueller investigation in the UK at the minute regarding Cambridge Analytica.
Ooh, we lost that one. We lost the volume. All right, let's... Oh, they lost us too, it appears. Can they see us right now or no? Should I? Okay, so they can't see us, right? They can't hear me? All right, sorry guys, obviously we're having some technical issues here, but we're trying to soldier through. Dylan, sorry for the connection problems, but let me go to the next question, okay? Because I want to make sure I can get through more of these.
Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, thank you so much for watching and for staying up all the way till 2 in the morning. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, let's go to the next question. Thank you. Okay, this is going to be Paul Anthony. Okay. All right, Paul,
giving
are you there?
Injections to students with against their will. That was actually my introduction to TYT. I was looking for local stories, and turns out that popped up on my YouTube feed. Anyway, my question is, if CNN wins the second part of their lawsuit against the Trump administration, will you guys then probably add your name to that suit to try to get press credentials for the White House? I know you've done a few interviews with Congress people before, but I mean, getting someone into the White House would be a big step ahead for the company. I can see why that would be something you guys would eventually aim for. That was my only question.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Really appreciate it. So it's a little bit complicated because on the one hand, I'd love to have someone in there, but we have to prioritize our resources and try to figure out, is it worth fighting that fight? So for example, what does that mean, right? And when I say resources, how does that affect this question? Well, in two ways. One is you have to hire a lawyer to write a brief for you to join the CNN lawsuit. And then you have to somehow spend a lot of man hours trying to figure out how to get onto that lawsuit, right? And they might say yes or no. And then you might have spent a lot of money on a lawyer, and then it doesn't even work. And then, that's super frustrating, right? And then secondly, we had to make a decision on if we want to dedicate a staffer, which is also a decent amount of money, to sitting in the White House press room the whole time. And you got to make that decision not knowing whether at the end of the fight you're actually going to be able to win and get someone in there. So as we're prioritizing things, that's why it keeps moving down the list. So that's like really a lot of inside baseball there for you, but it might be interesting for you to know how we make those decisions.
Yeah, it's frustrating to know that we have the right to be there. And if we had the resources to fight in court, we would likely get the credentials that we need. But it is expensive. It's super expensive to get a lawyer to fight for you, especially in cases like this. So,
look, I'll say one more thing about that. So that's why we appreciate you guys being members. And I don't want to push anything here. I'm just saying that, we still don't have a ton of resources. So like in an ideal world, that wouldn't be that big a deal. Come on, a staffer to put in the White House press room, maybe hire a lawyer to fight your way into the press room legally, etc. But in our world, that's a hell of a fight, right? And probably too many resources for us to put into it for now.
That was all I needed to know.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. All right, I knew it. I wish we could get to more questions. We only have 10 minutes left. So let's pick up the pace a little bit here, and it's all my fault. But anyway, Sean is up next. What's up, Sean?
We lost him.
Look, I love seeing you guys and seeing where you're from, etc. It's, you know, technology at this point, obviously, as you can tell, is a little imperfect. But let's not get too frustrated. Let's keep going. Okay, apparently we're going to get Sean's question in written form, and then we'll go to the next video as well. Sean's question was, how much ass does Ojeda kick? Well, Sean, I love that question. And my answer is a lot. So if you saw the interview today that I did with him, look, he's definitely not as progressive as some other candidates. For example, he doesn't even want to ban AR-15s, right? And so I definitely have policy disagreements with him. And he calls himself pro-life, even though he's actually pro-choice. So any voted for Trump, and you know, as I told him, I can't accept that. But his huge upside is he's a real old school Democrat, like grassroots, populist, for the little guy. I mean, I haven't seen that kind of, like Bernie fights for the little guy, right? But he does it in a gentle way. Mm-hmm. And to each his own, and what Bernie does is wonderful, right? But it's also nice to have an ass kicker, as Bernie does the long and important speeches on policy to educate the American people. It's nice to have someone standing behind him with a 2x4, right? Mm-hmm. Now, they're not standing behind each other right now. Bernie hasn't technically joined the race, but likely, in a sense, they'll be running against each other. But they haven't gotten to that yet. And there's a lot, I view it as like this, guys. I view it as like a Royal Rumble. And there's gonna be 16 corporate Democrats in there. If we got 3 or 4 progressives, maybe we could team up and throw a couple of the bad guys out, right? And like, I wouldn't worry about progressive on progressive crime until a million years from now. I mean, we should be so lucky that the top 2-3 contenders are all progressives. That would mean they defeated like 17 corporate guys and it's just down to them.
Right.
That would be amazing. Let's hope for that problem. Okay, next question is something. Where is it?
Oh, it's.
Okay, I see it. Julius Merlino writes in, I'm gonna make you answer this, Cenk. Who's your favorite Republican member of Congress? Oh, that's a no-brainer. Thank you, but it's my second favorite member would be a really tough question. But Walter Jones is my favorite. He's from North Carolina. He's super conservative. He's the goofball that renamed French fries Freedom Fries during the Iraq War. But I'm not saying that because I'm most amused by him. No. He's a real honest conservative. He's not corrupted. And he will disagree with the Republican Party when they stray from conservative principles. So I might not agree with Walter Jones on almost anything, although I think we do very importantly agree to some degree on getting money out of politics and campaign finance reform. But I just want honesty, man. So Walter, for all of his, and I don't know him personally at all, but for all of his positions I massively disagree with, is at least an honest actor. I prefer that 1,000 times over the rest of the phonies and corrupt senators and congressmen. All right, another question coming in here. Here we go. Liz Sullivan writing in, Thanksgiving's coming up. How do you deal with family who have terrible opinions?
Don't invite them, don't deal with them, don't like them. So moving on with my life. No, I'm just kidding. My family here in Los Angeles understands and dislikes Trump. So I don't actually have uncomfortable conversations with them. That's great. But when I visit my husband's family, there are differences there. They live in Florida, Cuban family, Cubans are usually Republicans, older Cubans especially. So that's when things can get a little fiery. And I've learned to, when someone tries to provoke me, for instance, my new response to it is, oh, I hadn't think of that. I hadn't thought of that. That's an interesting perspective.
That's I'm surprised it. You say that because.
Oh, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's real hard.
Okay.
But you know, I'm there for a week at a time and I gotta make the situation comfortable.
God bless, I hear you. And look, a very, very rare family member that would be for Trump. But I generally don't fight man to man. Like, so what I mean by that is, I got a whole show for that. So like I have a friend, my best friend's father-in-law is a huge Fox News Republican. So I'll just tease him, he'll tease me. It's fun and good-natured, etc. But I don't try to convince him of anything because that could get ugly. Mm-hmm. Just watch the show, okay? If you don't want, like in his case, I kid him around with him that he should watch Young Turks more often. Mm-hmm. And I don't, in my personal life, I don't need to get uncomfortable. And I know that the Trump people are wrong, massively wrong. So what am I gonna do, beat them down with it? Like my dad gets into too many fights with people who are religious and he'll try to convince them that there is no heaven. And I'm like, Dad, don't, right? And a lot of his friends are in their 80s. And like he's like, now remember, there is no heaven. Lights out, okay?
That's and, hilarious, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so I'm like, take it easy. All right, what's next question? I think we got it. Do we have a video coming up? Okay. As imperfect as this is, I want to do it more often. I like your getting your questions. There's 3 minutes left, by the way. Panic time. And if you didn't get one of your questions in, like I know it can be a little frustrating. It's okay. We'll do it again. We'll do this regularly for you guys. Even if we don't do it live, we do it more regularly for the members. And I like doing it together and I like doing it in the studio. I wish. Okay. All right, we got a question coming. It's on the screen. It's from.
Oh, it's from Ankara.
Çeltikçioğlu. Okay, Hilmi, abi nasılsın ya?
Günaydın herkese.
Size de günaydın. Okay, from now, then let's speak to, let's switch to English. So, other than me and you, Hilmi, people can understand.
My question is, there's a great game going on right now, the Chiefs against the Rams, and do you have a player in that?
Amanha.
We have this.
I'm recording it, so don't tell me what's happening. Okay, I have it on DVR.
No, I won't.
Okay.
No.
And so,
no spoilers.
Yes, I had, but to answer your question, I had Cooper Kupp. But like most of my players, he got assassinated. He's out for the season. So I was devastated. But here's the good news. And I already have a Rams hat that I bought for this season because I bet on them for the season. So I just traded for Jared Goff. So he's officially on my team starting tonight's game. But don't tell me how he's doing, okay? I need him.
No. But.
That's right. All right. Was that it, Hime?
Yeah, sure. Also, I want to ask this. I'm a member, obviously, and I volunteered for the Justice Democrats a bit, but at what point does my involvement as a foreigner become election meddling?
I see. If you're not a U.S. citizen, you cannot give money. That's when it would be meddling. Okay. But I believe non-citizens can volunteer. But are you a U.S. citizen or no? Okay,
no.
Wait. No, you're not a U.S. citizen. Okay, then don't give money. Okay, you're a rare person, I'll say, to the political candidates, don't give. Yeah, you can to Young Turks, bless your heart. All right, we're losing them on that. All right, we only have 30 seconds. Let's do one more question. Thank you, Hinmi. I got an uncle named Hinmi, and my sister used to live in Ankara. Okay, Jen, where do we have it? On the screen.
Would you ever consider doing a show with a studio audience or? Oh, okay.
Town hall with a studio audience. The answer is definitely. And as usual, this happens in a lot of these town halls that we do. The answer usually goes back to money. And so studio audience costs a lot more money. We do it from time to time when we go to YouTube Space LA or YouTube Space New York, because then they pay for it. But I like doing it. Wasn't it fun doing it with a studio audience?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that was an honest answer.
That's, well, look, we did a show for Fusion TV with a studio. It wasn't even really a studio audience. It was university students, but it was during the election, which was obviously a heated time. And toward the end of the season, unfortunately, the crowds attracted some pretty shady people, and that wasn't fun. But if it were guaranteed that the town hall would be with rational, logical people like you guys, of course it would be fun.
Yeah. No, I like it. There's almost too much noise though. Like TV likes to like the fake applause and stuff like that. And I feel like it eats away at
authenticity. Like,
no, because we did it for the Fusion show, but we don't do it so much at YouTube Space LA and the online shows. We just let people react organically.
Yeah.
But even so, like, it's both great and a little disruptive. I'm just keeping it real, but I would like to do it more often because we don't do it that much, as long as other people are paying for it. I will say though, one great thing about that format was Anna couldn't make it to Harvard. You weren't there, right? So I went to Harvard, and that's where they had three layers, and it was all packed, and it had great energy, and so. In an ideal situation like that, it was wonderful. And coincidentally, I met Zach Exley there that night. And eventually, he's the one that connected me to Shortcut Chakrabarty. And we, the three of us plus Kalinske, started
Justice Democrats.
So if I hadn't done that Harvard show, Just Democrats might never have existed.
Wow.
And by the way, I want to say one last thing for you guys, because this is really important. If it wasn't for you guys, Justice Democrats likely would not have existed. So Just Democrats, it originally was Brand New Congress. It's a long story, morphed into Just Democrats in a lot of ways. Brand New Congress still exists as a small, small organization. But they found Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And so she would not have run if they didn't ask her to run. And so by being a Young Turks member, and she says this all the time, and almost whenever she's on, right? I'm not sure that she would have existed if it wasn't for you guys. And it's certainly at the magnitude and the likelihood of winning and all the other things that goes along with it. And so when Laura Ingraham talks about the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, it's no joke and no exaggeration to say that you partly did that.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I'm just so thankful that you guys are with us and have helped to build something different and that speaks for progressives and represents our side. So, as always, thank you guys. All right, we're out of time for this one. We'll do another one, obviously, at some point. And thank you for all the people who participated and all your questions. We will see. Oh, we got a huge event tomorrow. So don't miss the 3-hour special tomorrow after the Young Turks. That's going to be great. We have the special supplies for you guys. All right, we'll do that tomorrow. All right, see you then.